The global chip shortage is an American manufacturing problem, but it's not going to be easy to solve. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. So here's what's going on with the chip shortage thing. First, among U.S. chipmakers, only Intel fabricates its own chips in the U.S. The rest contract with big companies, mostly in Taiwan or Korea, which are known as fabs. The biggest are TSMC and Samsung. Their facilities are incredibly expensive and take years to build and even upgrade. Now add in a pandemic. Lots of people at home buying computers, tablets, phones. Throw in the pandemic slowing down the actual manufacturing, and there aren't enough chips for cars, medical equipment, or all those other devices. Last week, President Biden requested $37 billion from Congress to kickstart the domestic supply chain for chips. Anshul Sag covers the semiconductor industry at More Insights and Strategy. I asked him if that'll be enough.
I think $37 billion is very likely a down payment. I'm not really sure it's enough because ultimately, if we want to move enough chip producing capacity to the U.S., there needs to be a considerable amount of investment to incentivize the TSMCs and the Samsungs of the world to do that.
So the companies that develop chips in the United States, many of them all contract with the same foundry, right? TSMC. So it's not like they're completely in charge of their own supply. They are constrained by how many chips, say, TSMC can produce and what other arrangements it has to sell chips to other companies.
Exactly. So there's TSMC, there's Samsung, and there's GlobalFoundries. Those are like the bigger ones. TSMC is, you know, they're a provider of everyone's silicon. And based on the customer relationship that a company has with TSMC ultimately determines what priority they get in that pecking order of what's available.
And then tell me about Intel, which does have its own foundry, but it doesn't seem like that's going that well.
Yeah, they had some of their own challenges with these newer process nodes. And they've been struggling to overcome them. And they just recently got a new CEO. And they're really aggressively pushing for resolving these issues. But they've shown that they've been able to overcome some of their challenges and increase their supply because they had shortages of their own prior to the pandemic. And now they seem to be kind of getting back on track to a degree. But ultimately, Intel is only producing Intel products.
This is a complicated problem to solve. Do you think that there is a best solution? Like, do we just have to wait out COVID and this shortage and beef up companies like TSMC? Or is the Intel model of companies producing their own chips going to be the eventual future?
I think there is a valid concern in wanting to have a certain percentage of chip capacity in the U.S. We have to just figure out what is the right number for how much chip capacity we need in the U.S. and how much we as U.S. taxpayers are willing to front that bill to ensure that national security level of chip supply, right? Because it will most likely come down to a, you know, minimum necessary investment, because I just don't think that it makes sense for the U.S. to try to replicate what TSMC and Samsung have done in Korea and in Taiwan, because it's double-digit billions, and that's just a short-term cost.
What is, and this is just out of curiosity in some ways, what is the role, what role does Apple play? I mean, wasn't Apple like pretty early to go fabless and maybe kickstart some of this trend? And then now Apple is, like Intel, creating its own chips for many of its products and building this kind of big Apple-only business. I'm just kind of curious about where they sit in this whole landscape.
Well, it's interesting because, like you said, Apple is fabless, and they do design their own chips, but they ultimately still do depend on TSMC to fab mm-hmm. those chips. And I believe they are TSMC's number one customer. But they do have a role in the industry where they do influence what kind of tools are necessary for the fabs to purchase. what kinds of materials and new technologies are being adopted, because ultimately, you know, what Apple wants does drive how the market moves in terms of sensors and chips. So I think Apple's influence is, one, its size. You know, they do influence how much the industry will grow. And they also influence what kinds of technologies get adopted, because their scale makes certain types of technologies profitable. Mm. And I think with this chip shortage, you're seeing Apple not really talk about it very much at all, because they're kind of the first ones in the pecking order. And I think that they've anticipated chip demand just enough that they probably don't really have much to be worried about.
So on the pecking order question, are automakers just like low on the priority list?
You know, I don't think that they're necessarily at the bottom, but I think by canceling their orders, I think they became the bottom. Mm. And they're not necessarily anywhere near high of volume as smartphones are. So I think they kind of hurt themselves pretty badly when it came to that. And, you know, it's been very difficult for everybody to find chips, be it for a PC or for other things. You know, if you ask anyone who's tried to build a computer lately, it's not very easy or fun. And I think that if you're trying to find chips for a car, it's probably even worse, just because a lot of these auto manufacturers canceled their chip orders, which means their chip suppliers had to also cancel orders. And it's just it takes 2 to 3 to 4 months to get those things spun back up again.
Anshul Sag covers the semiconductor industry at More Insights and Strategy. And now for some related links. There's a story in the Financial Times behind a paywall on this super interesting thing that Anshul Sag noted about how device makers actually increased their orders for chips at the beginning of the pandemic, while car makers furloughed workers and canceled a lot of orders. But now that they can't get back into the queue, so to speak, more of those furloughs are becoming layoffs. And that's becoming a bit of a political problem for President Biden, who would like to be reopening American manufacturing as soon as possible. It's also an interesting tech story, because the chips in tablets and computers and phones are smaller and more sophisticated than the chips in cars. And so these big fabs are increasingly gearing their facilities toward the device chips and away from the car chips. But the automakers, according to this story about it in the Washington Post, are trying to save money by sticking to the older chips, because there are a lot of upfront durability and safety costs whenever you switch out a car component. And of course, there's a 5G element here too. You need even more chips of various sorts in 5G phones, mostly for managing power so your battery doesn't die. And the better phone cameras get, the more display chips you need. And all of those are also needed in cars. And eventually, you just come back to the one inescapable problem for which $37 billion is a somewhat anemic down payment. And that problem is, man, people need to make more chips. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox, and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.